Well, this morning, I'd like us to turn in our Bibles to the book of Job. We've been hovering around Job for about 6 weeks now. And we're looking at some lessons that we can get from the book of Job. Now, I mean, we could go through and we could do a line-by-line expository lesson series on the book of Job. And there is a lot in the book of Job. And to thoroughly exhaust it, I've got several commentaries on the book of Job. Some of them are thin, some of them are massive, some of them are a couple volume sets. There's a lot that can be people say and talk about in regards to the book of Job. And there's a lot of people have various different opinions about Job and so on and so forth. And so there's some wild assumptions in some of them. And there's some things that I'm just like, I don't even know where you got that from. But we find in the book of Job that there are certain individuals that are mentioned. We have obviously Job. We obviously have Job's wife. We have Job's children. We have Job's servants. We have Job's friends. And we know the three of them. And then we know the fourth one, Elihu. And we're going to take a look at something Elihu said over in Job chapter 36 this morning. But we see all of them there. But again, the main theme behind the book of Job is not Job and his suffering. It's not even suffering. Those are all sub-themes to the main theme, which is God. And he clearly reveals this, because what is it that Job and his friends are debating? God. Who is the one that, if you will, has the final say in the end of all the debate? God. Who's the one that starts off at the very beginning talking about Job? It's God. I mean, we realize that the book is bookended by what the Lord says about Job and what the Lord even reveals about himself throughout. And we know that this book is telling us this is how God thinks. This is what God wants in our life. And as you go through and you study the book of Job, there are certain principles that come out. There's certain principles that God reveals to us that we need to understand in our Christian life so that we can fulfill what God is asking us to do. And this morning in Job chapter 36, Elihu is talking to Job, and he's obviously got a few things a little bit of a bone to pick with Job about justification, which we talked about recently. But one of the things that he's reminding Job about, because he's listened to Job speak, he's listened to his three friends speak, and there's some things that they said that may be true, but were completely out of context. They were misapplied. And Job needs to be reminded a little bit here. While he may be wise, he needed to be reminded by somebody that would essentially, as he calls himself, younger than the rest of them. He respected him. He listened to him. And when they were all done, Then he put in his peace. So I will say this, and the Lord repeats it, and it is a biblical principle: just because somebody is aged doesn't mean they have wisdom. Just because somebody is young doesn't mean they don't have wisdom.
Right.
You need to keep that in mind. What do we find here in verse 24 of Job chapter 36? Elihu is reminding Job. He says, remember. What does that mean? That means that Job already knew this lesson. Job had already gone through this textbook. Job had already, if you will, moved on from that. But he needed to be reminded. Remember that thou, Job, magnify his work. Well, who's the his?
God.
That's God. He's saying, Job, you do this. This is what you're supposed to do. Remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold. every man may see it. Man may behold it afar off. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time. I thank you again, Lord, for an opportunity to study this book, Job. And Lord, I thank you for what it reveals about you. It reveals about our purpose. It reveals about what our mindset should be towards you. And Lord, I just pray that this morning, as we look at this principle, you will teach us. Your Holy Spirit will show us. And Lord, may we be reflective of our life. May it be something that we need to take a look at in various areas that we're not magnifying. Maybe it's a situation where our life is not what it's supposed to be doing. And Lord, I just pray that this morning we would just be receptive to it. We would approach this principle with a humble heart, not defiant, not rebellious, but one that truly loves you and wants to glorify you. I thank you for all that you've done for us, and this I do ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. We talk about it in the Christian life, this idea of testimony. We've talked about it in the term, using terms of witness. We talk about it in a way that we know, if you've been in church for a little bit, you understand that when we say your testimony or your witness, we're talking about what it says in your life about God. What it says about your Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we think about this, and we think about it in context of what Job is being reminded of here, we have to kind of focus on that principle of when we go through something, whether it's we're in a time of peace or whether it's a time of trouble, regardless of whatever it is, we need to remember that this is still our primary directive. This is still what we need to be doing, regardless of the situation. And this is what happened. When trouble does come into our life, you know what it often does? You know what the tendency winds up to be? Is the tendency is to if you will, kind of, if you will, shut God out a little bit, shut out him and his works from our thought life. Because when we suffer through something, it's very much a me moment. It's very much, man, look at what I'm going through. And Job kind of did some of that. And there was a necessary, a little bit of a rebuke here from Elihu to Job, saying, look, Job, you need to remember this. Your testimony and what you do during this time, everybody is watching you. People are going to look at you and say, how are you responding? Yeah. What is it you are magnifying? Are you magnifying yourself? Are you magnifying your suffering? Are you magnifying God in his work in your life? Now look, when we go through suffering, we have a tendency to magnify our suffering. We have a tendency to magnify ourselves. You know, again, you know, we use the comment of somebody gets a paper cut on the bulletin on Sunday morning and they're suffering for Jesus. You know, they're going downstairs, they get the coffee, and the coffee spills on them. They're suffering for Jesus. And it's like, it's a bad Sunday. Like it's some sort of bad omen or something of that nature. No, look, you make that day the way you're intending it to be with your heart.
Yes.
You can have bad stuff happen to you, but that day can still be filled with gladness. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Amen?
Amen.
We know what the next part of the verse says. About rejoicing and being glad in it. You mean even in the sufferings? Amen. More in the suffering. More in the suffering. And here, you know, Job is being gently reminded with this, with this rebuke from Elihu about, look, you know, Job, let's not focus on you at this moment. Let's focus on God. Let's not try to declare your innocence and your, you know, justify yourself. Let's just talk about what the Lord has done first. You know, that tendency that occurs with suffering and trials is that we want to draw, if you will, a little bit more attention to ourselves than to God. It's more about, look at what I'm going through. Look at all of the trials. Look at all the problems. Look at everything. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. And again, Job kind of was saying some of that. Job was kind of entering into that mindset of you know, as you go through and you read some of his statements about how he was just wishing he would die because of his suffering, about his life was just miserable because of everything that was going on. He even declared at some point in time that the Lord was not forgiving him and was not pardoning him, which again was a very false statement for him to make. But as we look at all of that, we find that Job is just kind of like, he does a lot more talking about himself. Now, he does bring God into the conversation, but God is not the object of the conversation. This is why I always like to emphasize, when you study Job, it's not about Job. It's about God. The whole book is about him. The whole book is about a king and his kingdom. The whole book is about Jesus. We are secondary to that. He incorporates us in there. Yes, Job does say over there, I think it's chapter 7 or 17, where he says that the Lord does magnify man, but not to the same degree that man is supposed to magnify God. God has never put man above himself, nor will he ever. But we have a tendency to do that when we go through something. You know, we're kind of apt to forget the glory of God when we're going through grief. We have a tendency to do that. We're prone to do that. Like the song says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And sometimes we sing that and we think about the person that has just gone reprobate, and we think about the person that is just, you know, living in sin and has just rejected God and has left the church and said they want nothing more to do with the things of God or something of that nature. But I will tell you this, that's not what the hymn is talking about, and that's not the principles that we find in Scripture. We find that it starts off with the little things about not regarding God during our time of suffering and not giving him glory during our grief. That's where it begins. And Job is just, he needs this reminder. Look, we need reminders, amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, you go through a few things, you go through a few anesthesia events, pretty soon you begin to forget your own name. It's just, it's a fight sometimes. And as we age, again, it seems like we lose disk space upstairs. More apps seem to be running or something of that nature. I don't know what's going on. But we struggle to remember this. We struggle to remember that. And yes, we have devices to help us remember, such as our phones or alarm clocks or whatever it may be and things like that. But I will tell you this, we need to be reminded of this during these times, during troubles, and we need to keep it in remembrance. Not just remember it only then, but keep it in remembrance continually. Our duty is to observe what God does and to magnify his works. When you take a look at that in verse 24, he says, remember that thou magnify his work. Not your work, Job. not what you produced, not what you've done, not your righteousness, Job. Yeah, you may be a good guy. Yeah, you may be justified. Yeah, you may be perfect in the eyes of the Lord, but it's not about you, Job. It's about his righteousness. Because our righteousness can't save us. Job's righteousness couldn't save him. He still needed God's. And we look at this passage and we realize that he's saying, look, you need to magnify the work of the Lord. You need to do that. And that's what we are to do. Now, look, we understand that the things out there magnify God's work. They bring God glory, whether it's a tree or whether it's an animal or whatever else. But they don't have the same intelligence that we do. They don't consciously sit there and think about it. My dog Rollo doesn't sit there and ponder his life about how am I going to bring glory to God. No, he doesn't do that. There's an instinct about what he does and how he behaves and things of that nature. But the dog's mentality is what? For Rollo, he's motivated by one thing.
Food.
You're in the kitchen. Guess who's your little helper? You fry bacon, he will clean the floor for you. If you put him on the counter, you would gladly do that as well. But it's just, you know, yesterday I was cooking something and a little bit of something flew out and landed on my foot. And Rollo very dutifully helped me out by cleaning it. Now look, we look at those animals and we look at those things. But you know what? They may glorify God in the way that God has created and God has designed them. But he has specifically taken mankind to contemplate and think about it and to say, how am I going to do this? How am I going to magnify God in my life that I'm living for him? Because it's his life anyways. Mm-hmm. He bought it with a price, the shed blood of his, you know, his shed blood on the cross. So how do I magnify him? What am I supposed to be doing with that? Well, it's not about ourselves. It's not about ourselves. Turn over to the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 111. Psalm chapter 111. Psalm 111 is a great psalm. But I want you to see something here, you know, talking about a little bit of the reminder principle. In Psalm chapter 111, verse 3, it says, his work is honorable and glorious, his righteousness endureth forever. That's the righteousness we're supposed to be talking about, by the way. Amen. In verse 4, he says this. He says, he hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. And he talks about the works, about his grace and about his compassion, and how his works are filled with those things. But I want you to understand, he made his works to be remembered. What God does in your life, he doesn't want you to forget. He didn't put it there so that you would forget. He wants you to remember and remind yourself and say, look at what God has done. There's magnification. When you choose to not forget, and you choose purposefully to remember, you are starting the process of magnifying God's work in your life. And I want you to understand this. This is not just, you know, his work in this creative sense about what we see out there, but it's the continual redemption that we have. If you're saved, born again, child of God, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as John was talking about here just earlier, what happens? You're saved. Amen?
Amen.
You're saved from your sins. You're saved from eternal torment and punishment in hell. And that is something to rejoice about every single day. But you know what? Tomorrow, you're going to be just as redeemed as you are today.
Amen.
I understand we wait for the redemption of our body, and I understand all of that. But I want us to keep in mind that that redemptive act of God is a day-to-day thing that we need to bring into remembrance. Hence the helmet of salvation. You got to think about it. Don't just go through life, you know, if you will, forgetting you're saved. No, you keep it in mind. You keep it in remembrance. And over and over and over, you have to go and say, praise the Lord, He has saved my soul. Praise the Lord, He has forgiven me. Praise the Lord. These are things to be remembered. Specifically the redemption part. Even Job said that. He says, I know my Redeemer liveth. What did he know? He knew he needed redemption. He knew he sinned. He knew he needed a Savior. He knew all that. But there has to be a remembering. Oswald Chambers said this. He said, God puts his saints where they will glorify him the most. And we are no judges at all of where that is. I read that, and I'm just sitting there going, excuse me a second, I got to pull this. you think about what he's saying there. He's saying, very specifically, God is putting you in a certain situation, and that is where you're going to glorify God the most. Let's not complain about the situation. Let's not lament how it's unfair. Let's not sit there and talk about ourselves. How about we sit there and say, God, this is a time and a moment for me to glorify you. That's what I need to focus on. Job kind of lost that. Job was a little more concerned about himself and justifying himself and saying, I don't think I deserve this. But God had him there for a reason. And you know what one of the reasons was? That he would get the glory. Mm-hmm. That God would get the glory. That's exactly where Job needed to be. And sometimes when we find ourselves and we find ourselves in suffering or in a trial or in trouble or something of that nature, that's the moment in time when you are put there and you are there for the reason to bring God glory. Magnify his work. What he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. The past, present, and future. All of this needs to be there. When you think about that word magnifying, you begin to look at the definition about it. The definition, very specifically, is to increase the apparent dimensions of a body. What does that mean? When you take a magnifying glass and you look at something and it's small, it looks big. Its dimension has increased. And I want you to think about that for a moment. What Elihu is reminding Job is, hey, remember that small little thing that God did for you? Blow it up. When you blow it up, what do you see? More detail. You ever seen those electron microscopes and some of the things that they bring out? Those little itty-bitty little creatures and weird things. Like they'll blow up the face of an ant and you're like, oh, it looks like something out of a nightmare. You know, you're looking at things and it's just, it's crazy to see all the little hairs that God has made on there that you can't see with your eyes. And what does it do? It magnifies it and you're like, whoa. The same thing should happen in your life with all the small little things that God does for you every single day. You need to say, whoa, when you magnify it and look at what God is doing in your life. I'm talking about everything. When God reproves you, when God rebukes you, when God corrects you, when God comforts you, when God shows love to you, when God does anything in your life, you need to take that little thing and blow it up so that others will see it. You know, there's sometimes that people will discount the blessings of what God's doing in your life. There might be something small. But to God, He wants you to blow that up. To other people, they may look at it and go, in a scoffer mentality. Don't worry about it. That's up to them. Let God handle that, okay? But you just blow it up. I've had people see things in my life that we might think is small, but the Lord clearly did something. There's many a time that the Lord kind of keeps us from our own foolishness. I'll tell you this, that's something that you need to just truly give God thanks for. Sometimes we just, God keeps us from those things. You need to blow that up. Well, it's going to make me look bad. When I was young, I obviously wasn't in the right frame of mind, and I grew up in a godly home, and I did all that, and I understand that. But I will say this, I kind of wound up with the wrong mentality and the wrong thought processes. God kept me from my own foolishness. Dan and I were talking about this just before service. There was times I went into a bank, and as I'm walking in the bank to deposit my work check or whatever it is, this is before direct deposit. This is before you could do it on your phone, okay? and I was doing a deposit, and I remember walking in one time, and there was a couple of cop cars outside. I was like, didn't think anything of it. And I noticed all as I was walking in, there was a couple of cops that were inside, and there was, some of the tellers were talking, and I kind of look around, and I go up to the teller, and I'm like, "You guys okay?" And the teller's like, "Did you guys get robbed?" She's like, "I'm not supposed to talk about it." I'm like, "Oh, you guys did." That's a scary thing.
Yeah.
And here I am, young and dumb, sitting there thinking, well, if I was there, if you were there, what would you have done? Get yourself shot? Over money that is insured? That isn't even yours? I wouldn't have thought it through. You know what God kept me from that? God kept me from that. Because He knows me. We increase the apparent dimension of what God is doing in our life, and we make it bigger. Because it is big. Because we have a big God. Because we have a great God. As I said, this book is about our Lord. It's about His work. It's about His love. It's about His salvation. Everything in the Bible is about that. If we just take that understanding, the next logical thought in this is that our life is to also elevate what He has done and speak of what He is doing and glorify God in what He will do. That's the next logical thought process. Not about the sufferings, which God says in His book, Paul says, the sufferings I go through are nothing compared to what I'm going to see when I am with Him. The minuscule little things that we have a tendency to magnify, that's not what needs to be magnified. It's about magnifying God. Book isn't about Job. It's about magnifying God. We have people that they're all talking about God. Here's Job. offering sacrifices in case his children err. And who's he offering sacrifices to? God. So who's he talking about? God. He starts talking about God. And then we find Lucifer, and what is he doing? He's having a conversation with who? God. And what does he accuse God of doing? God, you're protecting him. Amen. And then what do we find? We find all this stuff happening, and Job, what does he do? Lord give it, Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Then his health starts going. Then his wife starts talking about God. Not in the right sense. Mm-hmm. When she says, curse God and die. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the edification. Way to comfort. And then there's the debate. Job and his friends about God. And then God has this conversation. And it shows the blessings of God in the end of suffering. The magnification isn't the suffering. It's about God. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Very familiar passage. We teach the little children this psalm, right? I'm not going to bust out in song, so I'm just going to kind of give you the lyrics. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And get them talking about hiding under a bushel. No. All that fun stuff. Get them all excited. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You ever kind of just meditate on that verse for a moment? That they may see your good works, what you're doing, and they don't sit there and praise you and come up alongside you and give you a rounding, you know, applause or whatever it is and pat you on the back and put laurels on your head and say, hey, way to go, Ken! No. What are they supposed to be doing? They look at your life and they go, God's working in his. And we all know it's not because of Ken. It's because of God. It's because of him. And what do? They glorify God because of it. Your life should be that way. You shouldn't want people, you know, again, looking at you and magnifying your good works and what you're doing. They should be glorifying God for what works God is doing in your life. Because look, we all understand, without God working in us, we have that tendency to just do evil. We look out for ourselves. We're humanistic. God changes that. So, turn back over to the book of Psalms, in Psalm chapter 34. We find that here, you know, obviously you're supposed to magnify God. You're supposed to magnify his works. People see the works that are being done in your life, and they give glory to God. This is what Elihu is reminding Job of. And in Psalm chapter 34, the psalmist kind of does the same thing. And I'd love to read the whole passage, but we don't have time for all of that. But all of these things that we see, it says in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. He's not boasting about himself. He's talking about how great God is. And he says in verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I can't help but think that was kind of a little bit of what Elihu wanted to see in Job. This is my opinion, okay? It's just my opinion. This morning we were talking about what it means to be a bit of a godly friend and having the right influence. And we go in over there to that passage that talks about, I was glad when they said, let's go out to the house of the Lord. The same thing is true here. Here you have the psalmist saying, hey, I want you to come with me. I want you to do something. Hey, let's magnify what God's doing in our lives together. A good friend does that, by the way. A good friend doesn't puff you up. A good friend shows you what God's doing in their life and what God's doing in your life. And then you, in turn, do the same thing. That's edification, folks. That's building. That's the way we're supposed to behave. And we find here it's saying, look, this is what we need to do. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Elihu is sitting there saying, hey, Job, I want you to think about this for a moment. How about we stop talking about you and what you're going through? How about we start talking about what the Lord has already done? Your suffering will change. Your trials will change. Your troubles will change when you start focusing more on what God has already done. Knowing that what He's going to do is far greater than any suffering you're going through. Take a look over at Psalm chapter 69. I want you to note there's a word in here that I want you to pick up on. I will emphasize it for you so it's evident and clear. But Psalm chapter 69, let's go ahead and take a look at verse 29. The psalmist says, but I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that has horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live to seek God. Those are some powerful verses, folks. How do we magnify God? What does it say there? With what? Thanksgiving. What does he say over in 1 Thessalonians 5 about giving thanks? What does he say is it, if you will, an earmark of a perverse generation and the wrong type of ungodly Luciferian mentality is unthankfulness. And here we find very specifically what God is saying. He's saying, look, you want to magnify? Here's how you're going to do it. Just give thanks for what God has already done. Some of us may not be breakfast eaters, but how many of us had a good breakfast this morning? Amen. You should be thankful for that. You should be thankful that God is working in your life to provide for you and to care for you. How many of us this morning had coffee? Yeah, more hands went up. Let me ask you this.
I'm going to try not to be too convicting. Okay? Just bear with me for a moment. When you eat your food, you ask the Lord to bless it, right? It's the right thing to do. You ask the Lord to bless your food. I do. Okay? When you drink your coffee, how often do you ask the Lord to bless the coffee? Or is that under the whole, it's not, you know, it's like my snacks. I don't want to ask the Lord to bless the bowl of chips. Everything the Lord gives you, you should be thankful for. Everything that the Lord gives you, you should give thanks for. That's what magnifying God is. And I guarantee you, Job's suffering and Job's thought processes would have been less depressing had he focused on just giving God thanks for what he had done.
with the little things. If he had gone back to his original statement, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. How about we start talking about what the Lord gives? How about we start talking about what the Lord has taken away from us that we don't need in our lives? Has the Lord taken some things out of your life you don't need? Has he taken some thoughts away? Has he taken some sins away? Has he taken some actions and behaviors away? Amen. There's a poet, and he made mention of some things talking about suffering, and he knew quite a bit about it, and he wrote a lot about suffering. He wrote a little devotional about suffering, and this was, he was back in the 17th century, and his name was John Donne, and he wound up marrying somebody that the father disapproved of the marriage, and he wound up getting fired from his job, and it was a good job. He was an assistant to another lord, and specifically a chancellor, and he was fired from that, and then he was taken away from his wife. They were separated, and he was then locked in a dungeon. So he understood some things about suffering. He still understood some things. And after he got out of that dungeon, he began to have some health issues, which brought him to the point of where it was continually, people thought he was just going to die. It brought him right up to that point of death. But in the midst of all this illness, he began to write about his suffering and write about some things and if you will, change a little bit of his ideas and understandings of what suffering is about. And he mentions this. He mentions that the sickness which keeps him in bed forces him to think about his spiritual condition. He said this, suffering gets our attention. It forces us to look to God, when otherwise we would just as well ignore him. Go back over there to Job. Elihu's saying the same thing to Job. Verse 24. Remember, Job chapter 36, verse 24, remember that thou magnify his work. Not yours, Job. Not your works. Not your suffering. Which men behold. Which men behold. Men will see that. Every man may see it. Men may behold it afar off. You know, when somebody is close, they can see things. We have a projector. What does the projector do? It magnifies what's on my tablet up there so that you can all see it afar off. Because it's a little bit hard to have all you guys come up and hover around and we preach at the same time. You want to see my anxiety flare up? Let's just do that. Okay? You magnify things so that they can be seen afar off. Does your life magnify God? And show it so much that it can't be ignored? I don't know what people go through every single day. But I know this, that every opportunity that we have, every difficulty that arises, every little trial that happens during the day, that it may be a trial that is easy and can be simply fixed. It may be we can't remember where we put our car keys. We're looking around. We're looking all over the place. And for a moment, there's a little bit of the panic. And then you find it. You're like, oh, praise God. Look what I found. Keys. Something simple, right? Magnify God. Magnify God. Those small little things that we go through on a day-to-day basis, don't ignore God with it. And Elihu is telling Job the same thing. Just like the poet. Just like we see in Psalms. Hey, Job, instead of magnifying what's going on in your life right now, how about we just magnify what God is doing? Because the next chapters that happen right afterwards, what does God do? God teaches Job how to magnify. Job, you ever consider my creation? Job, were you there when it made the stars? When it made the planets? Made the earth? Can you take on Behemoth? Can you take on Leviathan? Who are you, Job? Answer me like a man. Gird up your loins. Come on. That's what he tells him. Show him. God magnifies his work to Job. But still, it's not even magnified to the degree that it can be. Like I said, I'll close with this. I love looking at those pictures of space that they have out there. There's just some amazing beauty. Just some things that I'm just like, wow. Wow. You know what? You can't see it with the naked eye until some telescope gets launched into space. And with all those mirrors and all that magnification and all that, and then they produce those images and you just go, wow. That's amazing. You look at the nebulas, you look at the supernovas, you look at all those things in the night sky and you see all of it. And it's just amazing and beautiful. And we magnify the creation of God. Let's magnify the creation of that new creature in us. Let's magnify the salvation that God has shown to us. Let's magnify the forgiveness of sins. Every single day, you have something to be thankful for. There isn't one Christian on the face of the earth that cannot be thankful for this. The Lord has saved me. Yeah. Start there, and the rest will cascade. Remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold. Be a testimony to somebody else about how great God is in your life. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time and this word that you've given to us from your book. And I pray, Lord, that we would be very reflective of it, that we would contemplate. Lord, I don't know who's going through any difficulties here, but I pray above all the message that they received this morning, which is simple. How am I magnifying God? Would be something that they think about. Would be something that they use to discern and judge in their life. Is this going to bring you glory, Lord? Is this going to magnify your work in my life? What are other people going to see? Are they going to see me, or are they going to see you? Lord, may we have that thought. May that permeate everything that we do as we endeavor to please you. I thank you again, Lord, for all that you've done for us. I pray you continue to meet with us, speak to our hearts as we close with this hymn. I ask this in your Son's precious and most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.